stop for a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the ministry of the word this afternoon. Father in heaven, help us again as we come to the scriptures. We know that you have graciously provided the scriptures for us to function as a light to our feet. In them, you are revealed to us. In them, the way of life that we are to walk is set before us. And so help us to be attentive, Lord, to pay attention to your word. Help us especially now to understand your law. Help us to approach your law in just the right way. May we not misuse it, Lord. I pray that we would not think that we could be made right before you by the keeping of it, but rather that we would be made aware of the fact that we have broken this law in thought, word, and deed. But Father, as your children, I pray that you would give us this desire to do what you have commanded of us. May we see that in the law and in the keeping of it, there is life. There is life abundant. That if we love you, then we will show that love by keeping your commandments. Lord, make us mindful of all of these things. Assist us now as we consider the eighth commandment in your Ten Commandments, Father. Help us to keep it from the heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. What is forbidden in the eighth commandment? That is the question we are considering this afternoon. That is question 80 of the Baptist Catechism. And the answer is this. Repeat after me. The eighth commandment, forbiddeth whatsoever, does or may unjustly hinder our own or our neighbor's wealth or outward estate. I'll read it once again just for the sake of smoothness and continuity. The eighth commandment forbiddeth whatsoever does or may unjustly hinder our own or our neighbor's wealth or outward estate. Our reading for this afternoon is Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11. And there we read, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man." So far the reading of God's most holy word. May he add his blessing to the preaching of it this afternoon. The eighth commandment is, you shall not steal. It is rather obvious what that means. Don't take what is not yours. But that very simple principle is just begging to be fleshed out, I think. For example, we should ask, how then should I provide for myself? How should I increase my wealth and my possessions? Yes, we understand that we're not to do that by taking from others. We're not to take what doesn't belong to us. But how then should I provide for myself? How should I increase my wealth and my possessions? Stealing is forbidden. And yes, it is true that someone may give you a gift. That is fine. It's nice to receive gifts, isn't it? And that, of course, is just fine. And making wise investments is also encouraged in the scriptures. So that is a way for us to increase our wealth. But in general, we must confess that the way to provide for ourselves and for our family and to increase in our wealth and possessions is to work. You are to provide a service for someone else and be compensated for it. Or you must work the land with the hopes of reaping a harvest. Our economic system is a little bit different. Our times are different. Certainly that is a valid way to increase in wealth, to reap a harvest from the land that you have sowed with seed. Either way, the principle is the same. We must provide for ourselves by working. And that is what Paul says. Let the thief no longer steal, an obvious reference to the eighth of the Ten Commandments that we are now considering. But rather, he says, so this is what we are to do instead, but rather doing honest work with his own hands. Let him labor doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. There are so many questions associated with this topic, and I'll name a few just to show you that I'm not oblivious to them. Okay. Must a person work with his hands? Is that what Paul is saying here? Well, no. Some work involves the mind more than the hands. And what about the wife and mother who does not go to work but remains at home? I would say that is a great blessing, but the scriptures do warn against idleness at home. What is the wife to do at home? If she is able to stay at home, she should work at home. She should be diligent to manage the home. And she is also free to engage in industry. On top of that, I say, see Proverbs 31, for example. And what about retirement? Is there a place for retirement? And we would say, of course there is. Hard work in the younger years does sometimes lead to retirement. In fact, most people hope that it eventually will. But even in retirement, men and women should serve the Lord. They should not give themselves over to idleness or to just pure pleasure. You know, I think even in retirement, we must see as Christians an opportunity to serve the Lord with our time and with the experiences that we have gained in life. We should share our wisdom with others. Even in retirement, men and women should serve the Lord. Those who are retired and those who are perhaps in their old age, very advanced in years, what should they do? They should devote themselves to prayer at least. They should be very diligent in prayer. And what about those who are independently wealthy, who come into great wealth by way of inheritance? What should they do? Is that good or is that bad? Well, it is not necessarily good or bad. It is a great blessing, but the scriptures do warn the rich not to trust in riches, but to trust in God. And those who are rich should use what they have been given for the furtherance of the kingdom of God and the relief of the poor. They should be generous. Again, idleness is forbidden in the scriptures. So there are so many issues to talk about in relation to the question, you know, how should we go about increasing our possessions and our wealth? What should we do with our time as it pertains to work? We know that it is forbidden of us to steal. In general, if you wish to say this, Christians should be diligent and hardworking people. And this takes so many different forms. I'm aware of that. And yes, things will look different from person to person, and the circumstances will change as the seasons of life come and go, but in general, Christians should be hardworking. Stated negatively, Christians are not to be sluggards. No, instead, we are to use our time and energies for the glory of God, for our good, and for the good of others also. This proverb that I have read, Proverbs 6, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, it almost makes you smile to see the way that this wisdom is communicated here in the Proverbs. The Proverbs have a lot to say about this subject of work. They constantly urge men and women to be diligent and hardworking. They encourage men and women to be wise with their money. They show men and women generally how it is that they will come to be both rich and poor. And I think the text that we read from in Proverbs 6 is most instructive. Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Wow, what an image that brings to our minds. And I wonder, have you ever watched ants? You know, maybe you've never slowed down enough to do so. But have you ever watched ants? And no, we are not talking about your aunt, your mother or father's sister, but ants, the bugs that crawl on the ground. Have you ever watched them? They're very hard-working and diligent little creatures, wouldn't you agree? It seems to us as if they never stop moving. They just move and move and move. They're very diligent and hard-working little creatures. They move along. They seem to constantly work to provide for themselves and also for others. Proverbs 6 tells us that we should go to the ant and consider her ways. We should watch them, observe them, and learn something from the ants. And no, the point is not that we are to never rest. That would contradict other scriptures. The scriptures teach that sleep is a gift from God. The scriptures warn against the vanity and folly of overworking. And the scriptures command that we cease from our labor one day out of seven to worship God. Ants don't do that, do they? I don't think the ants honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. They haven't been called to, but we have been called to do that. We are to honor the Sabbath day or the Lord's day. So we are not to imitate ants by working tirelessly and unceasingly 7 days a week. And in fact, I was curious about this, and so I did a little bit of research, very little research. Do ants sleep? Have you ever thought about that? Do they sleep? And what I learned, and I think this information is correct, is that actually ants do take about 250 little power naps a day totaling to about 4.5 hours of sleep a day. You don't notice it, right? Because they pause for a minute here or there to take a nap. And then they go on again. That's what worker ants do, at least. But of course, the Proverbs do not speak to us scientifically, but from the appearance of things. From the appearance of things, ants never seem to stop. They're so very diligent in their work. We are to observe them, and we should learn something from them. But what are we to learn from the ants who seem to work so diligently? Well, I think it is important for us to notice that in Proverbs 6, the lesson that is being communicated is for the sluggard. What is a sluggard? Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. A sluggard is a lazy person. It is the lazy person who is encouraged to go and to consider the ant and her ways, and therefore to become wise. I don't think a workaholic should go to the ant necessarily and consider her ways. That wouldn't be such a powerful lesson for the workaholic. But for the sluggard, it's a very powerful lesson. Go to the ant, O sluggard, and consider her ways. And what exactly is the sluggard or the lazy person to notice? Two things. One, the ant works very, very diligently without having any chief, officer, or ruler. And yes, scientifically, we know that in an ant colony, there is a queen, and there are even other kinds of ants, so that there is a kind of hierarchy in the ant world. But the point is this: when you watch ants, you see that they work very hard and very diligently, and no one is cracking a whip, as it were. Ants seem to be self-motivated. It seems to be a part of their nature to work hard and consistently, and the sluggard should learn from this. The sluggard may work hard for a time if someone forces him to, but then what does the sluggard do when no one is watching, when the whip isn't being cracked, as it were? They go back to the couch. They begin to nap once again. And so we are to learn from the ant in this regard. They work very diligently without having any chief, officer, or ruler. Two, this proverb urges us to notice this about ants. They seem to understand the seasons. Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise without having any chief, officer, or ruler. She prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. The ant is diligent to work and to save in times of plenty, knowing that times of want or lack are soon to come. And the sluggard needs to learn this lesson too. The lazy person may have adequate provisions at the moment, and so they lounge on the couch and sleep in their bed, but they forget that those provisions will soon run out. What then? The ant works diligently even when her storehouse is full, for she knows that the time will come when provisions will be lacking. And that is what the proverb warns against so directly, saying, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. It is truly a wise saying. And so Christians are to be hardworking and diligent people. The 8th commandment requires it. Yes, it forbids stealing, but this means that on the flip side, we are required to labor, doing honest work with our own hands so that we may have something to share with anyone in need. And the ant can be instructive in all of this. To state the matter negatively, the 8th commandment forbiddeth whatsoever does or may unjustly hinder our own or our neighbor's wealth or outward estate. As with all of God's commandments, we must reflect deeply on these things. What sorts of things may hinder our own or our neighbor's wealth or outward estate? It's an important question to ask. So what sort of things are forbidden here? Well, concerning our neighbor, stealing is obviously out of the question. That would hinder our neighbor's wealth, wouldn't it? Dishonest work is also out of the question. So though we may provide some good or service to our neighbor, if it is dishonest work or a good that is of poor quality, then we are not really helping our neighbor, are we? You know, maybe we have provided something for him, but if it is defective, then in essence we have robbed from our neighbor in that moment. We are hindering our neighbor. But what about the responsibility we have to earn a living for ourselves, to provide for ourselves and to help others who may be in need? It seems to me that we need to think about our own work ethic. We need to also think about the management of our finances, the wisdom of our investments and business ventures. Brothers and sisters, I am saying that these commandments, all of them, must prompt us to think more deeply about the issues that they address, including this one. Thou shalt not steal. Got it. Walk away as if we've understood the thing. No, I don't think so. Thou shalt not steal. Well, what does this mean, really? What does this require of me? What does this forbid of me in the whole of life? I think it should prompt us to think deeply about questions like these. So, am I diligent in my work? Am I managing my finances? Am I making wise investments? Am I entering into wise business ventures so that I can provide for myself and those who are in need around me? As Christians, we must not love money. We must pursue contentment and be generous with what we have. But at the same time, we cannot be foolish with our money or unconcerned about the question, how will I make an honest living? And how will I have enough for the future when my ability to earn an income has diminished? These also are important questions, aren't they? I think so often as Christians we hear, be not lovers of money. And it might lead us to err in another way, that is to be completely unconcerned about the question of money. And yet the Scriptures do have something to say about the topic. In fact, the Scriptures say a lot about this topic of money. And perhaps I should move to a conclusion by saying this. Please hear me. I do understand that life does not always go as planned. Sometimes we wish to work, and we are in fact willing to work, but we cannot. And I do not mean for any of this that I have said to be a burden to those who are in a situation like that. Rather, what I am doing is setting forth the scriptural ideal. Remember, the Scriptures do speak of the importance of caring for those in need. And what does that imply? It implies that sometimes people will find themselves in need. Ideally, no one would ever be in need. But in reality, sometimes people are in need. And the reasons for this are varied. And so I am speaking generally here. I am setting forth ideals. Brothers and sisters, I do pray that we have it in our hearts to be willing to work honestly, to work diligently, to provide for ourselves and others. And then we should be prayerful that the Lord would provide for us all along the way. What is forbidden in the eighth commandment? Again, the eighth commandment forbiddeth whatsoever does or may unjustly hinder our own or our neighbor's wealth or outward state. Lord, help us to keep your law in thought, word, and deed. This should be our prayer. And forgive us when we do not. We thank you for Christ who kept this law perfectly on our behalf and died for our sin. In him we have placed our trust. This also should be our prayer. And all of God's people say, Amen.